Good morning. It is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is July 9th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. This year's Summer Trolla opening in Southeast, by most accounts, got off to a slow start on July 1st. It was hit or miss for many of the over 500 permit holders who were allowed their first crack at Wild King salmon for the summer, with catch rates varying significantly depending on location. KCAW's contributing reporter, Diana Saverin, rode aboard a troller out of Port Alexander for one day of the opener and sent this report.
Every year on July 1st, the deep groan of troller engines might sound around a southeast Alaskan harbor at any hour past 12:01 a.m. for the summer's first Chinook or King Salmon opening, a window of time targeting this year approximately 98,135 King Salmon. In the Dawn A, an old wooden troller based out of Port Alexander, we got a late 3:30 a.m. rumbling start. Winding our way in and around the fjords of Lower Chatham Straits, we lowered the trolling poles out into a V and set the gear, dropping the cannonballs into the dark of the ocean and snapping leaders with bait and flashers onto the steel wires as the gurdies clattered and spun them out below the stern. And then we waited. Moving slowly through a calm sea, we watched clouds travel along the coast, some classic rock on satellite radio, the occasional whale or sea lion, and the endless flow of black coffee.
It is the worst fishing that I've ever experienced in my entire life on the Dawn A. It is the slowest it's ever been.
Finally, hours into the day, Blake Conaway, the skipper of the Dawn A, pulls up something besides an empty hook.
We didn't even catch humpies today. Just caught one king.
After we got to the fish tender in Port Armstrong, the EAC, cranes took the ice bags from the hold and emptied and weighed the fish on deck. There, we realized that many other trollers fishing around Chatham had encountered a similar king opening, one with not very many kings.
I had 8 stinking fish, 1 stinking cove.
That's it?
Dan Dunn, the captain of the EAC, noticed their absence as well.
We've only got like 100 fish on board, maybe. 100 kings on board, which is not a lot for us.
1 medium red king salmon! 1 medium!
But things were not all bad for the fleet. Patty Scannis, the regional troll management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says that approximately 548 boats in this year's fishery have an overall catch rate comparable to past years.
And when you talk to individuals, of course, it varies widely. Some people are doing well and others not so well. But right now, it looks like somewhere around 10,000 per day is what they're catching.
The preliminary price for those kings is $3.69 a pound, down from the spring fishery price of $5.89 a pound, and slightly below last year's price of $3.78 a pound. And as those daily 10,000 fish begin to make their way from troller to tender to processor, and maybe eventually to our plates, the fishermen will return too. Reporting aboard the salmon troller Dawn A off the southern coast of Baranoff Island, I'm Diana Saverin.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game expected the first king salmon opener of the season in Southeast to last between 8 and 10 days. KCAW's contributing reporter Diana Saverin is an undergraduate at Yale University, spending her second summer here in Southeast Alaska. Her work is funded by the Chase Coggins Memorial Fund and the Robert Berlin Fellowship for Humanities and Sciences. The Alaska Marine Highway System should do well in the federal budget. A recently passed transportation bill sets aside $67 million a year for ferries. That replaces a smaller, less certain amount of money that had to be fought for every year. Ferry Chief Mike Newsell says the money is based on a formula which should help Alaska.
The three factors that would play into that formula would be number of passengers carried, number of vehicles carried, and route miles. Route miles obviously being important for Alaska since our system is probably the longest route ferry system in the United States.
Alaska Congressman Don Young inserted the provision into the House version of the Surface Transportation Act. It made it through negotiations with the Senate. The bill awaits President Obama's signature. Newsell says part of the legislation will benefit other ferry systems more than ours.
The Alaska Marine Highway System with 3,500 or so route miles certainly competes well in that part of the formula. In terms of passengers, not so much. I mean, we carry 334,000 passengers a year. I think Washington State Ferries carries about 22 million a year.
The Transportation Act also includes funding for tribal roads and the Alaskan Railroad. It covers the next 2.25 years. Bartlett Regional Hospital's infection prevention coordinator says Juneau residents have no reason to be concerned about a case of necrotizing fasciitis, the so-called flesh-eating bacteria discovered in a patient recently. Kim Vermadal says the deadly condition results when one of several different types of bacteria get into the body and produces toxins and enzymes that destroy skin tissue. She says one type of bacteria associated with the infection is the same kind that causes strep throat.
What can happen is you can get a wound, like a cut, and the bacteria then can enter our bodies, and that sets up a whole process where you get the necrotizing fasciitis.
Fortunately, Vermadal says full-blown infection is extremely rare. Not only do you need to have an open sore for the bacteria to get inside your body, but people with healthy immune systems are usually able to fight off the disease. In most cases, she says simple hand washing can all but eliminate the risk of developing necrotizing fasciitis.
The most important thing that people can do to prevent any kind of infection is wash your hands often and always keep cuts and scrapes and burns and bug bites clean. Sometimes people get a cut and, it's, you know, the next day they think about cleaning it. So that's something you don't want to let go. You want to clean that right away.
Vermadal says Bartlett has other precautions in place to prevent the spread of infections. That includes isolating patients with certain symptoms like diarrhea or flu-like conditions. She says all hospital employees are required to get regular training on infection control, including proper hand-washing practices.
During new employee orientation, they're given information about how we handle our infection prevention here in the hospital, and we have ongoing education that's required.
Vermadal says privacy laws prevent her from discussing the specific case of Juneau resident Ruben Perea, who was medevaced from Bartlett 2 weeks ago with symptoms of necrotizing fasciitis. But she says she's unaware of any other cases of the infection in Juneau. The spokeswoman for Seattle's Harborview Medical Center would only say Ruben remains in satisfactory condition. Among the 4th of July festivities in Ketchikan was the official opening of the new downtown fire station. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman was amongst the dignitaries. KRBD's Lila Carey was there and has this report.
Ketchikan's new downtown fire station has been operating since May, but the dedication ceremony was Tuesday. Senator Bert Stedman was on hand to help uncouple the fire hose, a substitute for the traditional ribbon cutting. The ceremony opened with a bagpipe performance by the fire department's pipe and drum corps. Fire Chief Frank Scher emceed the event and thanked many people for contributing to the project, including Stedman, who helped garner state funds for the $12.7 million station. Mayor Lou Williams III says the project took cooperation.
It's been a community supported project. I mean, when we just started trying to figure out where we were going to put a fire department, everybody got involved, including not only the public officials, but community residents. And we did finally get to a location right here, and it's turned out to be a beautiful location, a beautiful facility.
Williams lauded Stedman for obtaining funds for various local projects.
And there's just not much you can say. I mean, he does the job. He doesn't come down here and hassle us. He just gets the work done. He asks us what we need to be we need done, and he does it.
Stedman also is Wednesday's 4th of July parade grand marshal. Stedman says the project took teamwork and some political finesse. He says Southeast projects aren't always a priority for representatives elsewhere in the state.
So we cooked up this conspiracy that we're going to put some fire stations in our district, but we're going to have to add additional fire stations to get political support. I get teased from time to time, you know, in both communities, and people look at the fire stations and they go, boy, that's an expensive fire station. And I agree, yeah, it's an expensive fire station. They're thinking the cost of their fire station. I'm thinking the cost of all the fire stations we had to build in Anchorage to get our fire stations.
Stedman says the new Ketchikan Fire Station will be great for firefighters and the community for a long time.
I don't see any reason why this facility can't stand the test of time. It's extremely well built. It's waterproof for a rainforest. You know, so it will be here.
The new station includes an indoor training facility, a parking lot for fire station staff who previously used public parking, new larger bays for fire engines, and quarters for on-duty firefighters. It also has a small museum area with large display windows to house Grandma, the city's vintage 1925 Seagrave fire engine, and other historical items. The state grant paid for $5 million of the project. The remainder was paid for through voter-approved local bonds. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Three people have been treated for inhalation of ammonia vapors leaking from a Seattle-based fishing vessel as it was docked in Alaska's Dutch Harbor. Coast Guard Lieutenant Jim Fothergill says the slow leak is believed to be coming from a tank holding up to 5,000 pounds of ammonia. The entire cooling system on the 353-foot Excellence contains 20,500 pounds. The Coast Guard says the vessel has been towed 6 miles to Wide Bay. Fothergill says it will be a couple days before the cause and source of the leak can be investigated because the ammonia spill continues. State regulators says the people treated were on board the vessel. Two were transported for further treatment in Anchorage. One has been released, and the other is in good condition. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today, expect patchy fog in the morning and rain, mainly in the afternoon. Highs around 57 and light winds. Today, rain. Tonight, rain. Lows around 50. Southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tuesday, rain is likely. Highs around 56 with south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And Wednesday will be mostly cloudy. Highs are around 58 degrees. Northwest wind 10 miles per hour.